Matt Barrows, who is sitting on the River Islands guest line to talk it out from The Athletic. Hi, Matt. How are we doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We are hanging in there just fine. Thank you very much. But what about the Niners' health report? Can we just go through that right off the bat and start with, are there any big names that you think are actually in danger of missing this game?
I would put Trent Williams at the top of the list of the iffies. You know, he's the most iffy of the questionable guys. There are a few guys who are out. Charvarius Ward is out. Kevin Givens is out. Mitch Wishnowsky is out with a back injury. We're going to have a new punter here for at least the next 3 weeks. But among the questionable guys, sort of the big-name guys, there's three guys who are questionable. Trent Williams, Nick Bosa, and George Kittle. I would put Williams as the most iffy, Bosa as the second most iffy, but probably is going to play, and I'm fairly certain that George Kittle is going to play. He practiced at least on a limited basis the last 2 days.
Just real quick on the punter, I know it's not the sexiest of topics, but they've been really bad, and it looks like Mitch has been a little bit down this year on overall length of kick and hang time. Is it fair to attribute this to a back injury that's lingered all year?
Yeah, this has been happening since the summer. If you're a punting aficionado, you probably have picked up on this, but he just doesn't look like himself. And the 49ers were having all sorts of kickoff issues at various points this season, and he did not kind of step in and take that over, which also kind of speaks to him not being 100%. But Pat O'Donnell will be the next, will be the new kicker for at least 3 weeks. Sort of a mathematics issue, because if Wishnowsky goes on IR, which he's expected to do tomorrow, he has to miss 4 games. And they can bump Pat O'Donnell up from the practice squad for 3 games. So it leaves a bit of a question about what they're going to do for that 4th game. But probably if O'Donnell plays well, then he'll just get elevated permanently to the active roster for at least a little while that back issue is taken care of. But O'Donnell's interesting because he's kicked in Chicago for a long time. He kicked in Green Bay in 2022. And, it's one thing to punt in those situations, but he's also going to be serving as the holder. And you've got Jake Moody coming off a very rocky performance in Tampa Bay. He's about to go up to Green Bay and then the next week to Buffalo, and really could use a veteran holder to sort of walk him through the wind and, what's happening with the swirling in Green Bay and things like that. So I think that's exactly why, out of all the available punters, O'Donnell was the one that they tapped.
Matt, let's go even deeper into just special teams as a whole. What are they doing about it? The group has been awful. What are they doing about it?
I mean, I don't know what to tell you. This has been a problem for a long time now, and they really haven't done anything about it. Nothing is the answer. They're just sort of staying the course,
which is a little scary when you look at how bad they've been. And forget the field goal kicking woes. I do think that was just maybe a one off, hopefully, but the punt coverage, the kick coverage, and I'm thinking about Laviska Shenault and his 97-yard kick return for a touchdown, which was kind of a stunning way that game turned around. So as you look at this going forward, is it personnel things? I know that Daryl Luter Jr. is doubtful, so if he doesn't play, who's going to be there to mess up punt returns?
That's a great question. Luter being the guy who was right smack dab in the middle of things in the Super Bowl as well, if you'll recall that punt hitting the back of his leg. I actually didn't think that Luter was the main guy to blame there. Remember, Ray McLeod tried to pick up that punt and run with it when he really should have just pounced on the ball and secured it. So I always felt like that was the bigger error. But now that Luter has done kind of similar things, in a different game, maybe I'm rethinking that. But you're right. I mean, The issue is that you are, when you're an injured team like the 49ers are, you're constantly moving new guys from special teams up into the starting lineup. And so it's a constant rotation of guys, first of all, and then you're putting some players there who just don't have a lot of background on special teams. But that's what happens, you know, in 32 different cities as well. And the 49ers seem to be the team that just can't handle that. So, you know, like I said, they were not a special teams unit last year or the year before that.
Right.
Or the year before that. So this has been a long-running issue. You know, they got rid of their special teams coordinator a few years ago. They replaced him with somebody who had a lot of clout around the league. But, you know, overall, the special teams did not get better. And they're certainly not a special teams that, you know, gives you a little something extra. I know they had the Diamador Lenore block punt for a touchdown. That's the exception. But this is not a team that usually gives you strong returns, certainly no touchdowns in the last few years. It's just bad things. It's things that allow the opponent to crawl back into the game. I mean, I thought that, you know, the difference between last year coming out of the bye, the 49ers went to Jacksonville. And, you know, at halftime in Jacksonville, the score was, I think it was 13-3. And then, or it might have been 13-10. I forget what it was. But then in the second half, the 49ers just blew the doors off the Jaguars. And the Jaguars were a good team at that point. They were 6-2. They were coming off their own bye. And I really thought a similar thing was going to happen in Tampa. I took to Florida. You know, it was almost 13-3 at halftime, but Jake Moody missed a field goal. And then in the second half, you had the special teams miscue on the punt return, and that allowed the Buccaneers back into the game. And it became a game like the Seahawks game that you just referenced, like the game in Los Angeles that they lost, just allowing the team a way to crawl back into the game and then losing all momentum because of special teams. You would think that, you know, it'd be a five-alarm situation right now, but apparently it's not.
Matt Barrows, The Athletic, with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. I mean, Matt, you've watched so many of these teams, and I get where they've been recently, so maybe that's why our expectations are where they are. But if you just look at these nine games that they've played, do you feel like you're looking at a contender, a true contender?
No, I don't, and that was the takeaway from the Buccaneers game, and and the first nine games. I mean, maybe for a quarter against Dallas, that third quarter, you could argue that this is one of the top teams in the NFC. This is a team that could go to the Super Bowl, and they it was just a tease. I mean, they were bad in the fourth quarter of that game, and then the Tampa game was like a lot of the other games this season. So no, they haven't shown yet that they're a champion caliber team. You know, there are circumstances that contribute to that. One of which was no Christian McCaffrey, and he said after the Buccaneers game that yeah, I felt good in this game, but I'm certainly not 100% of myself. So my point being is that there's still kind of this waiting for the 49ers to show up happening here. And it's still possible because of McCaffrey and because of some of these other guys that are starting to perform.
And also as part of it, too, just where their division is, where, you know, Arizona looks better than perhaps we thought, but they still have three games against each of those teams. And it may feel still like the 49ers have their own destiny in their hands. Is it looking at 5-4, not quite the full picture, knowing that they have a chance to control their own destiny?
Yeah, I think Sunday's game will go a little bit further to clarifying the picture. And Fred Warner's point after the Tampa game is that he just needs a shot. They just need to be in it at the end. They can get hot at any point. I mean, the Cowboys game did show that this team can get hot. And when they get hot, they look really, really good. So as long as you're still kind of giving yourself a chance to have that heat up period, and I think that they will. I mean, it's just such a veteran team. And they've done it in the past. That all suggests that they will finally kind of figure it out and slip out of this funk. The argument against that is that, you know, they're also an exhausted team, a team that went deep into the playoffs these last few years, a team that's been beat up this season. They were really beat up over the first 8 games, and they've got 9 more games, or following the bye, they had 9 more games. And it's the rougher half of the schedule. It's more road trips. It's a lot of road trips to the East Coast. It's a lot of primetime games, 10 o'clock start here and there. So it's a more challenging schedule in the back half than it was in the first half. That's the argument against them suddenly waking up and getting hot.
Matt, great stuff. Here we go into that stretch in November where Kyle is so good. But, yeah, the schedule's harder. So we'll see, my man. Thank you very much for coming on.
All right. Anytime, guys. Talk to you soon.